Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Awesome. Good. Yay. All right. So this morning we're going to talk about choice. So have you ever had to choose between desserts? A big triple scoop chocolate dipped ice cream cone or a bowl of canned peaches? What to choose? Right? Or how about, can anyone remember when you were little, that high, you know, mom and dad give you the choice of going home with them or going home with grandma and grandpa? What to choose, right? Or how about getting a new vehicle? Do you go for the used Toyota with only 100,000 kilometers on it? Comes with a modest price tag. Or will you go for the 2016 fully loaded Chevrolet Camaro with the huge price tag? You may even have to remortgage your home to afford it. But hey, it looks good, and man, does it go fast. What to choose? So choice. We are faced with choices every day. We choose to be happy or sad. We choose to eat healthy food or fast food, right? We choose to live in a home that suits our needs, or we choose to live in a palace. We choose to have a can-do attitude or an attitude of this is impossible. Sometimes the choices we make are life-altering choices. These choices may even alter the course of history. That choice may even save lives or condemn them to death. So today we're going to explore a few questions that impact our choices with regards to choosing life in Christ or death in sin. So here today we're going to pose some questions. Number one, what choice do we really have? And two, did God know of our choice before we made it? We know that without any doubt, He did. We know this is true because He is the author and the creator of everything that we see and know. He knew our names before we were born. He knew what color our eyes would be and the number of hairs on our head. He created every blade of grass and every molecule of water. He created the sun to rise and the sun to set. He put this earth right where it needs to be to sustain life, the very life that He created. He knew that he would have to send His Son as a sin offering. He also knew that we would have to be disciplined first. Humanity would have to go through some growing pains. So then, this then is our spiritual conflict of choice, as it has been from the beginning, from the time of our first parents, Adam and Eve. The choice to eat of the tree or not to eat. Another question in this that begs to be asked by us all. If God is love and He created everything in all man in His image, then why do we have to make this choice? And because the unspeakable choice was made, why then did God not stop that choice from being made? Surely He could have done this if it was His will. Did He not know that this choice would be made and what it would cost? I believe He did. This allowable offense was not to our destruction. For unknown to us, the Father had conceived such glory in the fall of man that in this fall, we would come to know our Father better than we otherwise could have. So let's look to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Now then, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but not. God did not say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden.'" Or sorry, "He did say, you must not eat from the tree in the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die." So you see here, the serpent issues a question to Eve regarding God's instructions. Eve even says to the serpent that God did say they must not eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Do not even touch the tree or you will die. Eve acknowledges what God had said, the command he had issued, and acknowledged that death is at hand if she disobeys God. So the choice here seems to be very easy, doesn't it? God tells Adam and Eve not to eat of that tree, not to even touch it, or they will die. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. You surely will not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The serpent here manipulates the word of God and tells the woman, Eve, that what God is really saying is that he doesn't want you to eat of that tree because then you'll become just as knowledgeable as God. She will know the difference between right and wrong. However, the serpent did not tell Eve that in this very knowledge of right and wrong, she would find out all about the you will die portion of the command that God had warned her about. She was about to find out what is good and evil, and in this learn of death in sin. Eve ate from the tree and her eyes were opened. She went with the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden to her husband, Adam. You know, kind of like when husbands or wives go to their spouse and say, with a new flavor of potato chip, and we say, oh man, is that ever good? Honey, you got to try this. Right? Adam saw that the fruit was good and pleasing to the eyes. He ate also of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. At that moment, we, all of humanity, fell. We disobeyed God. We all died. Now, we've also heard it said that Eve sinned first. While this may be true, to God it does not matter. He does not differentiate between who sinned first or what sin is worse than the other. Both sinned. Both fell short of the glory of God, thus leading all of us into death in sin. Adam and Eve hid from the Lord. God walked through the garden and called out to Adam and Eve. Adam answered, here I am. And we hid because we were naked and ashamed. Adam and Eve's eyes had been opened. They became aware of right and wrong. They became aware of sin, thus becoming aware of shame and fear. God asked this of them, who told you you were naked? And what have you done? Now at this point, we get a glimpse of what else their eyes being opened brought about. Blame. Because of their fear and shame, they now begin to shift blame to avoid discipline, to avoid being responsible or accountable. But here's the good thing. God, because he is a good father, disciplined them both, because they both sinned. And because God is a good father, he does not play favorites. He disciplined them both, for they have both sinned and fell short of the glory of God. The resulting discipline of this fall from glory was God cast them out of the garden. Adam and all of his offspring are to work the dry, parched, barren land by the sweat of their brow. Eve was not exempt from this discipline either. Eve and all of her daughters are to experience the pains of childbirth and the laborious task of being a mother. And this is so today. This is now passed on to all of us. We now bear the burden of that shame and ill-fated choice. We share in the fall from glory in God to death in the sinful nature. So then, what choice do we have? The aforementioned seems to condemn us only to one choice, death in the sinful nature. However, we are no longer bound to that choice. We are now able to choose another path. We are now able to choose victory over death and sin. We are now able to choose to no longer be condemned to eternal hellfire. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? We now, because of Christ and his cross, have the power to choose to turn from death in sin to a life full of grace, full of mercy. It is the free gift to all those who would ask. You see, because God is a good father, he provides his children with forgiveness. He provides learning opportunity. He provides for us an opportunity to choose, to stay fallen, or to choose to enter back into glory, back into an intimate, personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. But again, we have to choose. Romans chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift that followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass, in the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So now we can choose life through Jesus. We once were condemned to death in the sinful nature, a life of service to self, a life of slavery to addiction, slavery to adulterous ways, a life of disobedience to God. But now this is no longer a fate that we are enslaved to. Glory to God, he sent us a way out. He sent us an answer to our broken prayers for salvation and mercy. He sent us grace and mercy in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we are now redeemed and justified. We are free to choose to die in this sinful nature or be alive in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of our God. The Apostle Paul here tells us that if we choose Jesus, we are washed clean. We are forgiven. We were once condemned to a life of death, a life wrought with sin. We were reckless, careless, and selfish, but that is what we were. We are no longer dead in slavery to the sinful nature, but alive in our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are filled with his Spirit. He lives in us and we in him. We are now slaves to righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verses 19 to 23. Paul says this, I put this in human terms because you were weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see that the wages of the sinful nature is death. But now, because we have chosen life in Christ, we have chosen to be slaves to righteousness, slaves to God, slaves in obedience to Him. We have chosen to be slaves to holiness. Paul is urging us to seek out righteousness and holiness. He's urging us to enslave ourselves to all that is right and holy and enslave ourselves to God. There's one more piece of scripture that I have to share that the Lord really impressed upon me and I meditated on it. And he says to pay careful attention here and do not waver, to no longer be fooled by the words and ways of the world, but to stand firm and strong in your faith. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Paul says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Jesus, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life. Our Lord and Savior Jesus did not die to set us free from sin so that we could go on sinning under the lie that his grace will abound exponentially more. This will lead us back to the same affliction that our first parents were subject to. We have chosen to be saved through Christ. We have chosen to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy. We are now righteous and redeemed. We are justified. We have risen because Christ has risen. We are no longer subject to the wicked ways of this world. We are no longer condemned in our sin. So awake and rise, all you who are broken, in the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pick up your mat and walk as he walks. And as Jesus says in John 8, verse 11, neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. So God does not just forgive, but he also changes us from the inside out. He breathes new life into us. He calls us his sons and daughters. He makes us co-heirs in his kingdom. He calls us back into an intimate, personal relationship with him. But we have to choose for ourselves how we will answer. How will you respond? Will you choose to turn from the sinful nature into a life in Christ? Or will you choose to stay dead in the sinful nature? What will you choose? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you here in this place to give you thanks for who you are. We thank you for loving us beyond what we could ever imagine. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the gift of free grace that we receive daily. We pray, Father God, that you will protect us from evil, that you'll keep us firmly planted, entrenched even in your word, that you are mighty to save. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that is wanting to commit their lives to you today, that you receive them now. I pray they would turn away from their sin and place their gaze upon your glorious face. In the holy name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.